So I just want to say good morning once again to all of you who have gathered here today for our Holy Communion service. And for those of you who are joining us online, we thank you. We're grateful for your presence as well. And even though we will have a physical taking in of the symbolic bread and the wine, know that you too are receiving also this blessing as you hold the vision and the consciousness to receive your blessing. So we're grateful and thankful. And we always invite you also to make sure, if you're visiting us for the first time, to just make sure that you put your name in the chat. And we have people online who can greet you, and we'll make sure that you receive all that you are to receive today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And so happy pre-Thanksgiving Day. This is, you know, for me, it's always the start of the holiday season. This is it, right? Because we're starting to gather with friends and family. And I hope that most of you have some plans to gather with friends and or family to celebrate your blessings, to celebrate just how good God is in your life, in spite of everything else that's going on, to celebrate. And if you're not gathering with friends or family, and you are doing so with yourself, and I always say with yourself, never by yourself, because we're always with ourselves, right? But if you are doing this celebrating with yourself, may you still take the time to recognize and acknowledge the blessings of God and give thanks, you know? This year probably might be especially challenging for some folks considering all that's going on. Mass firings and cuts to, you know, food benefits, the prospect of rising medical insurance and family separation. There are many people that are separated from their families, either by choice or through what is happening with deportations, you know, people being separated from their children and children being separated from their parents. So this can be a very challenging time, not to mention all the laws and the policies that are changing, those laws and policies that have been put into place over the years to help assist our citizens, to assist, you know, those who might be in need, to lift them up and to provide them with resources, so that they too remember that they are part of this beloved community. I know that I wanted to just share an email that I got from one of our wonderful congregants who comes from time to time, but she's a family member of Allison and Malva and Vani. And this is what it says. It's from the McSween and Howard families present a Caribbean-style Thanksgiving family dinner. This Thanksgiving dinner will bring together families, federal government workers impacted by furloughs or individuals experiencing financial hardship, and community members in need for a warm and uplifting Thanksgiving celebration rooted in love, cultural pride, and community care. By integrating Caribbean, Latin, and African American culinary traditions with music and fellowship. And the dinner will provide not just a meal, but joy, dignity, togetherness as we head into this Advent and holiday season. And so this will take place on Thursday from 4 to 7, and it will be at the Monsignor Richard Hughes Family Life Center in Upper Marlboro. There is absolutely no cost for the meal. If you have a need or a family that has a need, you can go and register. Now, we have a sign-up sheet. If this is something that you feel that you want to participate in, there'll be a sign-up sheet. It has a link on it, but the link, as we tested it out, Reverend Shara said, the link is now closed because you have to RSVP. However, still sign your name, and I will forward your information to Monique McSween, and then you'll be contacted and hopefully have an opportunity to fellowship with like-minded people and to have a good meal. And all of this is at no cost to anyone. And I just thought, yes, how beautiful and how lovely that people are coming together to share out of the bounty and goodness of their hearts. So we already, in advance, we thank the McSween and the Howard families for offering this to anyone who is in need and would like to have a wonderful Thanksgiving meal, a Caribbean, Latin, African-American culinary. So, you know, I might just go just for that. Because, you know, more than ever than before, we need to be there for one another, right? More so than ever before, we need to be able to lift up those in our community and to share all of our resources and, you know, to share with them not only all that we have, but the enough and the overflow, the surplus, to share our light, but to also share the resources that we may have. And we are still doing our food drive that we will send to, so if you have any extra can or any non-perishable goods, you can bring them in. We have a box in the sanctuary, and we'll be making donations to the local food bank. We also will be having a coat drive as the weather begins to change. I said to someone, you know what, I have so many coats in my closet that I haven't worn probably in 30 years. I don't know. Because you never get rid of something like a coat, but there are people who are in need. So we'll be doing that as well. But more so than ever before, friends, we're going to have to demonstrate our miracle-working power and our abilities as metaphysicians and as spiritual masters. This is the time that we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to become spiritual alchemists, turning lead into gold or turning a limited source into an infinite resource to be able to turn something that is invisible into visibility, you know, the abundance of God. This is our time to really be able to demonstrate how to do that so that there will be, what, enough to share and to spare for everyone. And Jesus, the Christ, the way shower, the master teacher, shows us the way in the Gospels of how we can do this, how we can really stimulate and open ourselves up to be a living demonstration of the miraculous blessings and abundance of God. And he shows us how to do that and in the Gospels. Now, this particular story, aside from the resurrection, it's a story of miracles, but it's the only miracle story, aside from the resurrection story, that is found in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's lots of miracle stories, but John will say one thing, Luke will tell another story, Matthew will tell something else. Some of them might have two stories that are alike. But this one, as well as the resurrection story, this one, this teaching, this story, is the only one that is shared throughout all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when that happens, it usually means for me that there's something we need to what? Pay attention to. Because all of them decided that this was powerful enough to put into the scriptures. And of course, it is the story of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Now, interesting enough, Matthew and Mark say that it was the feeding of 4,000, and as opposed to 5 loaves and 2 fish, it says there were 7 loaves and some small fish. And then as far as what was left over, it says that there were 7 baskets left over. However, even though all this is similar, Luke and John, they say that it was 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And that there were 5,000 men. And when they say men, it means men and plus all the children and the women, because unfortunately, women and children were not counted in the number then. So there's a whole lot of people, right? But 5,000. And that there were 12 baskets of fish and bread left over. And I'm not going to go into it now, but I decided, well, let me look, because I know these are spiritual numbers, 4, 5, 7, 12. And so I asked AI, well, tell me the spiritual, I know what it is, but I like to see what IA says, AI says these things. Tell me what the spiritual significance of 4, 5, and 7, and 12 is. And so it popped up something. So on your own, little homework assignment, if you want to, go and look up 4, 5, and 7, and then 12. Because those numbers are repeated in the scriptures, and they have spiritual meaning behind them. But that's the meaning I'll leave for another day. So we have all of this, and I'm going to choose to read from John. I chose John, and I'm choosing the message, okay? So you can read whichever scripture, but I'm reading from John, and I'm going to do John verses 1 through 18. Now, to set this up, Jesus has just finished teaching or whatever, and he goes into Galilee, and there's a large crowd of people. They're following him, and this is what it says. So after this, Jesus went across to the Sea of Galilee. Some call it Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him, attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. When he got to the other side, he climbed a hill and sat down, surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the feast of Passover, and that was kept annually by the Jews. When Jesus looked out and saw that a large crowd had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to even get a little piece. One of the disciples, and it was Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, he said, "There's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." And there was a nice carpet of green grass in its place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. He did the same with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. And when the people had eaten their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." They went to work and filled 12 large baskets with leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. They said, "This is the prophet for sure. God's prophet right here in Galilee." And Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm, they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off and went back into the mountain to be by himself. I love it. Jesus was always trying to get away when it wasn't his time. But I chose this one because I want to call this the miracle of fulfillment and abundance. And I wanted us to be able to look at some of this metaphysically so that we can get a sense of what's going on. Now, it starts off that he is in what? He's in Galilee, right? And here's what it says about Galilee, and I'm reading from the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. And this is what Galilee represents. There's always a Greek meaning, a metaphysical meaning. And so the Greek meaning of the word Galilee means rolling, turning, a ring, a circle, a band, right? Rolling energy. So that means there's movement, there's momentum. And then for the metaphysical definition of Galilee, it means energy of life or life activity or soul energy or power or force or energy acting in conjunction with substance. It means, so Galilee is that place in consciousness and in us where energy interacts with the substance of God. And the substance of God is just the stuff of God. It's the stuff that all creation comes of. This came from the substance of God. Everything that is comes out of the substance, sub, stands. That which stands below everything that is manifested is God. And so substance is God's creative energy. And this Galilee is when the life force meets this wonderful energy, this creative energy that is substance. And then it says here, Galilee, associated with mountain, symbolizes a high consciousness of life. So he's up on a what? He's up on a mountain, and the people follow him there. So you got to get into what? A high consciousness. And then it says, science tells us that this Galilee consciousness exists everywhere as an interpenetrating ether, meaning it's everywhere. Jesus called it the kingdom of the heavens. The disciples represents man's faculties. Our work is to call the attention of these faculties to this kingdom of heaven consciousness within us. Some of them will appreciate and enter into it, while others will be unaffected and will be dubious. So we're starting off with this consciousness and this energy field of creative substance in Galilee. And so that's really important for us. So in this state of consciousness, in this place of Galilee, he notices that the people are there. And some of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, again, it's the same general story, but they each have different things. So one of them says that the people had been with him for 3 days, and he saw that they were hungry, right? And so he just wants to feed them. So after he says that to Philip, after seeing the large crowds. And I love it because the crowds had followed him because they had seen him do some miracles with the sick. So they were following him because they were looking for what? They were looking for some miracles. They were expecting to see something miraculous. They needed some blessings for themselves. And if this man could heal the sick, well, we're going to follow him to see what he does. So they were expecting miracles. See, and one thing about a miracle is you should expect it, right? So they were expecting a miracle or some, maybe either they had personal expectations or they just wanted to be looky-loos, but they wanted to be in that environment. They were expecting it. And so that's what the crowds. And so Jesus says to Philip, where can we buy bread to feed these people? And I love that it says he already knew what he was going to do, but it says he wanted to stretch Philip's faith. Now he knew what he was about to do, but he wanted to see what Philip would say. And of course, Philip was like, well, you know, even if we had 200 denaros or 12,000 pieces of silver, that ain't going to be enough to feed all of these people. So Philip comes up with the what? The human response, right? I'm looking at the people. I'm looking at, you know, what we have to do and feed. And this is not, we only got a limited amount of money. Now, have you ever said to yourself, ooh, I got a whole big thing to do, but I only have a limited amount of money to do it. I only have a limited amount of resources to accomplish what I want. My need is great, but I'm looking with my human eyes, and I only see limitation. I don't see the abundance. So Philip gives the typical answer. But here it is. It says he wanted to stretch Philip's faith. Now, Philip is a disciple. You know, we have what we call the 12 disciples, each of them, right? And they represent some aspect. They represent a quality of being that we have within us. So Philip is a disciple that represents imagination. Imagination. And Jesus wanted to stretch Philip's faith by helping him to have the ability to see beyond the physical, to stretch his faith so that he could begin to see beyond that which was manifested, to be able to stimulate his imaging power to see that which is unseen and to create from that place, right? And so the same goes for us, because if we want to see the miraculous, if we want to see miracles, we're going to have to be able to see the possible within the impossible. You've got to see the possible within the impossible if you want to begin to demonstrate a miracle for yourself. Because most of the time when you're using your human consciousness, you're going to say, "What? Oh, that's just not possible. I don't see any way this can happen. I don't know how God is going to do so and so and so and so, or how this could come about. Well, when you're talking about miracles, you must move beyond what is seen, beyond what is known, right? To move into the spiritual realm. And we've been conditioned to just really focus on the physical realm. And so these five fish and five loaves, five is a number that also represents the physical, your five senses, right? And so we start off with the five senses, but Jesus is going to show you, I'm going to show you something beyond your five senses, right? And I'm going to feed five, you got five loaves, I'm going to feed five loaves and 5,000 people with five loaves beyond your senses. And so, you know, after he questions Philip, and Philip says, I don't know how that's going to happen. Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, comes up and says, well, you know, there's a little boy. There's a little boy who has five barley loaves and two fish. So now we have Andrew, who is Peter's brother, entering in. And Andrew is the disciple that represents strength. And he's connected to Peter, Peter's brother. And Peter represents, you all should know, who does Peter represent? Faith. Peter represents faith. So now we got some strength, you know, coming through, but it's backed up by some faith, right? And he comes and he says, all right, there's a little boy over there who has five loaves. Now, this little boy, it seems insignificant, but this little boy was willing to give all that he had, right? And remember what Jesus says about the kingdom of heaven? If you can make this connection, he says, and I give it all the time when I'm christening my babies. And he says, you know, unless you become like a what? Little child, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom. Meaning there's something special about a child's presence and innocence and willingness to believe, the child's power to see, because children can see the possible within the impossible, right? They're going to use their imagination. They can create a story of anything. And for them, everything is possible. Ask a little child to tell you a story that they're thinking about, and it'll be glorious. It might have cars and monsters and whatever, but they can see the possible. And so there's a little boy there, representing that innocence, that ability to enter into the kingdom of heaven consciousness, meaning open, receptive, with no, you know, or preset rules about it has to be this way or that way. We're going to be open and receptive. I'm going to have a childlike consciousness, open, right? The ability to just imagine the unimaginable to that adult mind, a high consciousness to enter into the kingdom. And so this little boy means that we are opening up our, we've got to get to that level. If you're going to try to produce a miracle for yourself, you got to get beyond, you know, because your mind, your ego mind is going to do what in your ear? Talk to you, right? It's going to even talk you out of your miracles. It'll talk you out of your blessings because it'll start to tell you, well, that's not possible and I don't know and how are we going to figure out and the left and the right and this. Get into that consciousness that is so open, ready to believe, ready to give everything that we have to enter. So this is what we're looking at. So after Andrew says, well, there's a little boy here. The boy gives up his five loaves and two fish. And then Jesus takes him and he says to the disciples, tell the people to sit down. Now, there's 5,000 people or more. Tell them to sit down. And I'm wondering, why? Why is he telling the people to sit down? Well, in my understanding, when I did my meditation, I always meditate upon the scriptures, and this is what I got for today's message. It may change for another day, but this is a day. Sit down. He's helping them to become receptive. Sitting down to receive the food. Because usually when we're eating, we're sitting, what, at a table, right? Now, they're out in the wilderness up in Galilee, in big open field, there's no table, but he says, sit down. He's trying to help the people and us to be ready to receive the food, to be ready to receive. Even if we cannot see anything with our physical eyes, we're going to have to be ready to receive it. If you're trying to produce a miracle and you're only thinking about what you can see, you're not ready. To be ready, you're going to say, I'm going to sit down at the table. I'm sitting down at the table. I'm ready. Can't see anything, but I'm ready, right? Ready to receive. Let me hear you say, ready. I am ready to receive. I am. You got to be ready. We pray for things, we ask for things, and we ain't ready. So when we're going to work with miracles, we got to get what? Get ready. Sit down at the table. Even if there's no table before you, sit down. Be open, be receptive, and ready to receive. So once the disciples get everybody in certain scriptures in Mark and Matthew, they say that he breaks them up into groups of 150. Well, that's fine, but there's enough of them. So he tells them to sit down. And when he says it sit down, he takes the bread. And some of the scripture, it says he takes the bread and he looked up to heaven and offered a blessing. Other scriptures just say he took the bread and he gave thanks. I like the one that says he looked up to heaven because heaven is that what? High consciousness. If you're going to try to produce a miracle, you can't be doing it by some low vibration and low consciousness. You need to look up. You got to raise your vibrations, raise your thoughts, raise your faith. You got to look up into the higher consciousness, the heaven consciousness, where divine ideas dwell, where the realm of possibility is. Infinite possibilities. So he looks up, he raises the vibration in the consciousness because you need to have a raised vibration if you're going to produce a miracle. So he does that, he looks up, and then it says he offers a blessing. And then the other scripture says he gives thanks while he's in this high exalted state of consciousness. And so he's got this bread and he's looking up and he's offering blessings. And you know, the bread also is another name for Jesus because he says, I am the what? The bread of life. So he's talking as the Christ now. You know, he's functioning as the Christ, not just the Christ that is the bread of life, the substance of God. And he gives thanks. And the scripture says he gives thanks and he gave it to those who were seated. You see the connection? He gave it to those who were ready to receive it. If there are others in the group that were standing up and talking or whatever, y'all, you ain't ready. So they didn't get no bread. Now, this is me analyzing, but I'm thinking, why would he say, the scripture say, and he gave it to those who were seated. He gave it to those who were ready to receive it. And I think that's a powerful thing. And then he blesses it. Now, what did Jesus do before the manifestation of the miracle? He gave thanks. He held it, the bread, and he gave thanks. So in any miracle that we are attempting to have, this is a quality of being that I think is a must-have when you're trying to generate a miracle. You're going to have the ability to give thanks. And to give thanks not after the fact. To give thanks when? Before. You got to give thanks before. Now, there's some miracle-working power in giving thanks. One is that it increases whatever we are grateful and thankful for. That giving thanks has a multiplying effect. Whatever, you know, this through as Mr. Fillmore says, through an inherent law of praise, whatever we praise increases. It's just a natural thing. So whenever we want to produce something and more of this good, more of this blessing, start praising it, giving thanks for it. Even Jesus said, whatever you want in prayer and ask in prayer, believing you have received it, and it what? It shall be yours. So this thanksgiving helps us to believe, yes, I'm giving thanks. I don't mind that I don't see it. I'm going to sit down and be ready to receive it. Right? I don't have to see it first before I sit down. I'm going to sit down because I'm ready. I'm ready to be fulfilled. I'm ready to be blessed. And I give thanks in advance. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So it has, this Thanksgiving has a multiplying effects. So Jesus gives thanks. So he knows he's getting ready to multiply it, right? And the second thing that I think is important is that when you offer a prayer, it increases your faith. When you offer a blessing, it increases, you know, thank you, and thank you for the food. Thank you, blessing it. And blessing is to confer goodness upon. So you're conferring God's energy upon anything that you bless, right? And so you're ready. You're now blessing it. You're now increasing your faith. And it is faith that's needed to activate miracle-working power. If you're going to activate your miracle-working power, you're going to have to activate your what? Your faith. Anything you ask for, believing you have received it, you shall, and it shall be yours. And there are two definitions for faith. There's the metaphysical definition, which Mr. Fillmore says that faith is the ability of the perceiving power of the mind. That's the perceiving power, the ability to see beyond the literal. It is the perceiving power of the mind linked with the substance of God to create. So when you take your ability to see the possible within the impossible, you're seeing, and you hook that up to what you can hold in your consciousness, then that faith produces and activates so that the substance and stuff can come into being. It's the perceiving power of your mind linked with the power to shape substance. And the shaping of substance is when you're using your imagination. You are shaping the stuff of God. You're creating the storyline. You're creating the vision. And so you link that up with your perceiving power of your mind to see it, and then you shape it and give it form. Boop, that's the formula for miracles and manifestation of faith. And then the other one, of course, we know very much is the biblical definition. Faith is the assurance of things what? Hoped for. But it is the evidence and the substance of things not seen. So we got to activate, if you're doing a miracle, you've got to activate this faith-producing power to see your imagination and to work it, work it, work it, and to pray. So you've got some praise going on, you've got some faith going on, you've got some imagination, your ability to see, and now you're giving gratitude and thanksgiving so you can multiply it. This is the power that we have within us that we've been given through these gifts. And so we give, yes, it's something we can celebrate. So we give thanks in all things and for all things. Make it a habit to give thanks for everything. I always tell you, like, when I find a penny on the street, I think I got $1 million. I'd be like, "Woo! Thank you, Lord." I pick it up. I don't pass it. I pick it up. And now probably pennies are going to be worth a whole lot since they're not producing them anymore. But I take everything and I get excited about it and I see it as a blessing. Give thanks in all situations and all circumstances. So the people now have eaten, and it says that they were full, right? Now, after the people had eaten their fill, Jesus says to the disciples, gather the leftovers. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I love the leftovers. Sometimes the leftovers taste better than the meal itself, right? Because the seasoning had time to what? To season, to get all in it. And you're like, ooh, these leftovers are good. Plus, leftovers come in handy. Sometimes my mother and I say, I don't feel like cooking. We're like, what's in there that's left over in the freezer we can go and eat? Leftovers are good. So he says, get the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. And what I'm thinking about, those leftovers are there to remind us of God's blessing, that there's always enough to what? Share and to spare. We affirm that every time. There's enough to share and to spare. There's always the leftovers that we can have. And what this tells me is that God's abundance is infinite and inexhaustible. There's always enough. God's substance never runs out, right? God's provision is always there and it's enough. Always. And we have to remember that, especially when we're living in times where it seems that there's a lot of lack and limitation and scarcity running around in the consciousness. And if we're not careful, we buy into it. Oh, I don't have enough, or I lost my job. I'll never get. No, okay, that job has ended. God has infinite jobs, infinite ways to bless you. There are infinite, infinite channels through which God, as the source of everything good, can come forth. See, sometimes we get hung up on a particular channel, thinking my job is the channel that my blessings come through. No, no, God is infinite. It might not be your job. You might hit the lottery. I don't know. Don't limit the ways in which God can bless you, right? Or your miracles can come. And so we're here to recognize that even the leftovers are God's reminder that we are provided for. In every way, God is providing for our needs, and it's always met, what we like to say, in full and on time, right? In God's time. So we want to have this consciousness, friends, that the abundance and the substance and the prosperity of God is always available to us, but we have our part to play. And if we want to, we want to condition our consciousness to understand how to work with these spiritual laws so that we don't defeat ourselves. We don't worry about what's happening out here. We don't worry about what it looks like. Let us get into the inner chamber of our own hearts and minds. Let us touch the truth that we know and start calling that forth. And don't get hung up in trying to figure out the how. The how is not your business. God knows what God needs to do. Like Jesus said, he already knew what he was going to do. But Philip was like, I don't know how we're going to do this. We only got 12,000, you know, dollars or denarius. Blah, blah, blah. Don't get caught up in that. Your job is to activate dwelling in the realm of possibility. Lord, with all things, with you, everything is possible. I don't have to know how, but I know and have faith that it will occur. I know and I have faith that you can do what seemingly others can't do, but I trust and I have faith, and so I'm going to rest in that consciousness. I'm going to give praise and thanksgiving in advance for all of my blessings. All of my needs are met. The scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things, everything will be added unto you. Let me not worry about the things being added. Let me seek the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven consciousness. Let me dwell there, because everything else is piece of cake, is going to come. I will be blessed in the process. So, for this Thanksgiving, my dear ones, I want you to sit down. Sit down. Quiet your mind and heart, and be ready to receive, because you are seated at the table of God. You are seated at the table of God. So I ask, are you ready to receive? Ready? All right. Blessings. Enjoy the day. Blessings, blessings, blessings.